I want to talk about something very important today. I don't know what title I have. I'm going to give a bunch of titles. But the main thing, you get the point. And the point is, we're in a beginning. This is, I know it's not New Year's, but I get to speak. This is my first time speaking here. I'm going to speak a new start message, a reset message. And how do we start something new? And how many know what I'm talking about when we hit reset? Yeah, or reboot, or defrag, you know? I'm learning all these terms, you know what I mean? These kind of cool terms. But we get to have a do-over. Everybody say do-over. I appreciate when my wife says, can I have a do-over? And I go, yes, you may. And I want to talk about this today, but the right start, you cannot have a reset without not just a renewing of the heart, but knowing that your heart is healed. Knowing that we have a healer. And I want to talk about a good start is the healing of the heart. A good reset is the healing of the heart, or resetting the heart. And so I love how Ezekiel says that I will give you, I'll take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You know, is your heart startable? Because if you don't, you can restart all you want, and if you still have that same heart, you're just going to recommit the same things. How are we doing? Just like out of a heart that is sick, you're just going to perpetuate a sick heart, a bruised heart. How are we doing? You're just going to do do-overs of the same thing. How are we doing? And my Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Amen? And so I'm going to talk about this. So is that kind of clear? Everybody say reset. Restart. Healing of the heart. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. So I want to talk about, I'll read a scripture out of 1 Samuel 16. That's basically my verse today. But I do want to visit a verse up here by David, because I'm going to talk mostly about David today. And we're going to get a little bit more intimate with David. I know you did a study last year on David, and an in-depth study. And I feel really emotional here today. I want to share this verse. In Psalms. In Psalms 51:10, we know this verse very well. It's created me a clean heart, created me a new heart, created me a pure heart, a whole heart. Amen. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're doing a three phase teachings right now. It's start with the heart. Amen. Created me a clean heart. Everybody say clean heart. Right spirit. How many knew you can do the right actions but not having the right spirit, therefore it's wrong? I can say I love you and I do good things for you. If I don't have the right spirit behind the actions, it can be even destructive. How are we doing? And then the last part is restore me to the joy of our salvation. I have another counseling shaka. Don't be confused with chakra. I'm sorry. Some people go, chakra? Okay. And chakra is just this symbol right here. But this is how I teach. I teach in threes. Everybody say, reveal, rewrite, and renew. And that's what I want to talk about today. But a lot of times, if we don't reveal that, how many know that, you know, how many know the devil has control of darkness? So whatever is still in the dark in our lives, no matter what, maybe we convenient, maybe we didn't purposely keep it in the dark, but it's just there. It's something that needs to come out. How many know that God uses people? And today he's going to use a pastor, just like he did with David, to restore some good stuff. How are we doing? And so when they arrived, I'm going to talk about 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7. And 6 through 11. And you know that I think everybody knows, but I'm going to recap it a little bit. Here comes the pastor. And his name is Pastor Sam. We know him as the prophet Samuel. So I'm going to call him Pastor Sam. So Pastor Sam shows up, and he's been working with this king called King Saul for many years. And so now God, he's disappointing the anointing of king on King Saul, and he wants to give it to a new king named David. So God calls Pastor Sam. He says, Sam, and by the way, Sam was the last judge in the book of Judges, and he was the first, the judges period, and he was the, what? First king, first prophet in the king's period. How are we doing? So he's not the new kid on the block. It's not his first rodeo. Okay? But there was a lot of things going on in here that was his first rodeo. So check this out. So God says to Pastor Sam, he says, Sam, I want you to go and anoint one of Jesse's sons that I'm not going to tell you his name. And I want you to anoint him as king. And his first reaction is, no, whoa, wait a minute. No, I know this guy. He's a loose cannon and he'll kill me. I know he's going to kill me. How's God? You know what God reminds me of? Pastor Doug. Pastor Doug used to give me the craziest answers. When I used to come in freaking out, he would give me the coolest answers. I didn't think they were cool at the time. But one time he goes like this. I said, I have a full-time job and I can't work, Bible college is going to the daytime and what am I going to do, Pastor? He goes, where do you want to be in 5 years? I says, full-time ministry. He went like this. Like this. You want to see the side view? And so, what kind of answer is that? What kind of answer is this? What kind of theological counseling is this? It's almost like God telling Samuel, take a heifer. Is that all you got for me? Is take a heifer? Well, the rest of the whole story is take a heifer and go down and sacrifice it with Jesse. That's the best you got for me? I'm about to be killed by the king. And you can say, take a heifer? He said, take a heifer and go worship. How many know that that's what we all need to do? Amen. Next time someone comes up to you panicking, tell them, take a heifer. Go down to the place that you're supposed to go and take a heifer and worship. Amen. Worship first. Worship with Jesse and take the edge off. Because I need you to be tuned in to what I'm about to do in your life, Samuel. Pastor Sam. So he goes down there. And when they arrived, now we're into our verse. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and he thought, surely. And what he's saying is, I'm positive that this guy is the guy. He set up his little table for interviews, his little pad of paper, and he's doing king interviews, and he sees the first guy, and with all his back knowledge and his experience, he goes, surely, I'm positive that this is the guy. We don't even have to go through all the seven interviews. He says, surely the Lord's anointed stands before me right now. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Ooh! He's not the one. He said, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. The world looks at the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Did you know I used to think that this was a negative verse? I used to think that this was a scary verse, like repentance. I come to find out, repentance is a beautiful word. It's aligning ourselves up with God's blessings. Amen? But how's this one? Because I used to think, the way I grew up was, I'm going to go to church. And first of all, I don't want to go to church because they preach a thing called truth at church. And I have a lot of things that I don't want people to know about me. See, the more I get closer to God, the more I'll be found out. I don't like that verse that the Lord looks at the heart. It was almost like a scolding, threatening verse that the Lord's going to see what you're hiding. It was almost like going through TSA, yeah? They're going to find it out. All right. And there's people like, I'm like, check your pockets, make sure your laptops, your laptop, anything in your pockets. And they always look at me, they always think they have to ask me three times. Is there anything in your pockets? No. Is there anything in your pockets? No. Is there anything, do you see things poking out? Okay, step forward. Step forward. Put your hands over. Okay. Okay, stand right there. Aaron. He's looking at the screen, and I guess I have little blips and bloops all around my body or something, so. And he goes, oh, every time they go, there's something here we need to check. Okay. And I already know, because they do it every time. I'll say, there's something in your waist, in your groin area, we're going to have to check it. Would you like a private screening? No, I would like to get to my gates. He's like, would you like a private screening? Oh, yeah, let's do a private screening in the middle of my flight. You know, and all of a sudden, they go, okay, so it's okay? And I go, do what you got to do. They go, okay, what I'm going to do is we're going to go on your waistband. I'm going to put my hand in your pants, and then I'm going to go down your front. But don't worry, I'm just going to use the back of my hand. What does it matter? I'm going to touch your private parts, but I'm only going to use the back of my hand, so it's okay. The world starts making up their own rules. Could you imagine approaching anybody? I'm going to touch you, but don't worry, it's only with the back of my hand. Might as well use the front. Go all the way. You know, and here's this thing. So I used to think that, oh, they're going to find something. What are they going to find? You know, but here's the deal. I used to think that God was like that. That he's going to find something. Because he looks at the heart. He doesn't look at people look at. He's got this ability to look at the heart. But what I realized, family, is this. He's the only one who cares about the condition of my heart. See, I'm going to talk about David today. Could you imagine David? He goes by. Jesse had Abinadab had passed by. But Samuel said, he's not chosen this one either. Jesse had Shammah. No, he hasn't chosen. Jesse had the seven sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen any of this. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse said. He's tending sheep. He wasn't invited to the interviews. Even though he was on God's list, he wasn't on his dad's list. That is terrible! Could you imagine David out there tending sheep and just dialing in? He's just doing the work that the Father told him to do day after day, day after day. He's the only one. Sheep don't, there's not self-serving sheep that needs a shepherd. So he's doing everything the sheep needs. He's being the parent to the sheep that is providing for his family, but yet his father either forgot him out in the field or didn't want him to go. Be a part. Could you imagine him cleaning sheep and disinfecting their nasal cavities and getting rid of the ukus and the fleas and the lice and the cuts and putting ointment on the sheep, and all of a sudden he hears voices and people walking by. Hey, how you doing, David? We gotta go. Where are you guys going? Oh, didn't you hear? It's a big thing happening in town. All the king's men are showing up at the household of Jesse. You didn't hear? They're going to anoint one of his sons as kings. We got to go. Can't talk. We got to go. We don't want to miss this. Wait a minute. House of Jesse, man. It's my house. It's my dad. Why was it I invited? You know, they got these little boxes up here. You know what these little boxes are called? They're called DIs. So every time I walk up here, I see these DIs, but I guess they call it direct input boxes. And DI reminds me, to me, DI is daddy issues. And you know how long it's took me to even preach on Father's Day? And then I go. Because if you don't know, my dad murdered my dad 30 years ago. And the hurt, it moves around a little bit sometimes. But still there, yeah? How many people play guitar? How many play string instruments? Anyone? Does it hurt when you play? Anyone? Does it hurt when you play, Daniel? It hurts today? Oh, it used to hurt. But when you play, if you play right now, it's not going to hurt. Why? Because you have something between you and the pain, yeah? But if that thing wasn't there between you and the pain would still be there? How are we doing, guys? If there wasn't something hard between you and the pain would still be pain. How's Joseph? He got freed from prison. He overcame so much. He's got the highest position in the world next to Pharaoh. But he still had daddy issues, didn't he? He still needed to be healed. He was still hurting. So much he was making some, right, Christy? He was making some weird, you know, the cup thing, the whole stash the cup thing. That was not out of a sound mind. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stash the cup. And then I go to incident. I go to, because I don't know about you guys. I mean, you guys, to me, you guys are pretty perfect. You don't have issues. But you know, I've been focusing a lot on my dad and healing and God. And God's been showing me. He's visiting a lot. I don't know if I have time to share all the things that God has done. But when I was going to commit suicide and my God showed up with a vision of my dad before I killed myself. And that's how I came to the Lord. Not in a church. God brought a vision of my dad. And then later on, my people in this church told me that my dad's not in heaven. My dad's went to hell. And praise God, I didn't listen to those people. Because people are just people. They bring things for a reason. But he says, yeah, because, you know, you got to go through Jesus. And what he did was abominable to God. And so he took his own life. And well, guess what? Aren't you glad I didn't listen to him? And I chose to believe a verse that says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So between the time he pulled the trigger to the time he bled out that he called on Jesus, it's very possible. So I'm going to believe that that's what he did. So about 20 years later, I had another vision, and it was just like the first vision, just as powerful, just as moving, just as, and it leaves, I know things are from God when it leaves a residual peace, it leaves a residual power, it leaves residual presence, and it leaves a residual promise. How are we doing, guys? And that's pointed towards God's word, verifying that what God's word is true. Amen? Temptation is the opposite of that, right? The devil wants to prove God's word false in your life so you can throw it out. You guys follow me? So guess what the dream I had 10 years ago? It was at the perfect time in my life. I was about to quit the ministry, and God showed up, and I saw my dad, and he was about 8 years old, and I was helping him. I was helping him get up, and I talked to him, and I helped him, and I knew he was old, so he grew old, so I was good, and it left me that residual stuff some more. And then, man, DI, huh? Raise your hand, you know what I'm talking about, daddy issues. I mean, they come in all different shapes and sizes too, you know what I mean? It could be one word. I've been finding out it could be one thing that we still hold on to, or, you know, that I wished that he should have done. Guess what the pastor did? The pastor didn't even, Pastor Sam didn't even know what God was up to. He didn't even know that it was David. He thought it was the first guy. But he knew enough that God sent him. There had to have been another. Because God told him. He said, I'm going to tell you which one. So then he goes, do you have another? And guess what Pastor Sam said? Bring him here. Do you know what he did? He brought Claire, because there were seven sons. Seven is the number of completeness. There must have been an eight, because there's going to be a new beginning. How are we doing? Who's with me? And guess what Sam did? Pastor Sam said, we will not sit down until he gets here. Because when he walks into this room, everyone here is going to give him a standing ovation. We're going to give this guy honor. It took a pastor to walk into his life. Oh, come on, men. Is that our biggest thing? To feel disrespected and dishonored? That's my kryptonite. I don't know about you. But nothing worse than a man feeling dishonored and disrespected in his own household. It's even worse than that, right, Caleb? Of not even getting invited to the party. And it's your house. But then I was thinking, that's what Jesus goes through all the time during Christmas season, yeah? People celebrate his birthday, they don't invite him to the party. And it's his birthday. Is this okay? I'm going to do something today, because did you know that God cares about the inner brokenness of our lives, the bruises of the past, even though there was been covered up by callous and time and hardness? But man, Psalms 147 verse 3 says what? God heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds, and he spends intimate time with the person who's been injured. I want to talk about this before we break bread today. What a great time to start. Reset, restart. There's a list I have. Here's some reasons. Oh, I came up with these reasons. Reasons to reset. Number one, gone through some sort of addiction. And now you're getting out of it. Yeah? How are we doing? I preached at a bunch of places last week, and I was talking about this, and I was saying, you know, self-care doesn't mean self-medicate, yeah? And clean and sober doesn't mean switch drugs. All right. Number two, loss. Oh, gone through. Oh, look at this. See, I can't even read. Okay, number one, gone through an addition of a loved one. See? Let's see how I am. Okay, everybody say addition of a loved one. Everybody say, turn to your neighbor and say a baby changes everything. Or a foster child. How we doing? But how many know it'll change the whole everything? Everybody say, time to reset. How about this? How about loss of a loved one? Is this good stuff already? How about a change of living space? Like you moved into a new house. Whether you moved into a bigger house or you downsized. How are we doing? It's a good time to reset. I like all the heads. I like the bobbleheads. Thank you. And so change of geographical location. How's that? You move someplace that's like not next door. Yeah? Come on, let me see the bobbleheads. It's time to reset. Yeah? And this involves, hey, students, this involves what? Going to a new school. Yes? Come on, bobbleheads. Let me see them. There you go. Look at that. That was like a bobblehead choir. Okay? And so, you committed a major sin or a crime. Come on. Come on. Now, where's all the bobbleheads? Oh, I'm sorry. They're all back in Maui in my church. All right. How's this one? Or a major sin or crime has been committed to you. Looking for the bobbleheads. Going through a major health change. Or status. Loss of job or income source. Ten. Or your household has just become too complicated. Who's with me? Where's the bobbleheads? Who likes number 10? It's like, who like, on that one you can reset every day. Okay? So guess what I'm going to talk about today? How bad do you want healing? Because I'm going to talk about seven habits today. Seven habits. Because when I kept going, and I can't count how many times I'm going to church and I'm going through my problems and I'm sharing my problems with other people, and they say, just look at the cross, brother, just look at the cross. So I'm like this. Is this supposed to do something? Maybe I'll look at it this way. Okay. Do I have to do something else? And so, how many know it's we gotta clarify a lot of things, yeah? One thing that I found is when you look at the cross, I love what Habakkuk 2 says after Habakkuk complained to God two times. Aren't your eyes too pure to look at evil? So why do you keep looking at this evil? Why don't you do something, God? Well, he did that twice to God, and guess what he did? Is it 11? Oh man, I'm not gonna get past my list. Well, I get to hand it over. Well, guess what? You know, when looking at the cross, I'm going to give you seven things. Habakkuk says, I'm going to look to see what the Lord's going to say. How's that? When you look at the cross and see what the Lord said, he gave us seven habits. Number one, it's okay to ask why. Everybody say, ask why. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, But Jesus was also a man. He was all God. But he felt the pain, and it's comforting to know when he hurt the most, he had to ask why. So God's given us permission to bring our tough questions to God and shine light on that pain. Amen? Because Satan only can control stuff in the dark. Number two, everybody say, choose forgiveness. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Number three, share the gospel. Aren't you glad, Daniel, that he took time to share the gospel on the cross? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. How are we doing? He didn't go alone. Everybody say four. Secure your spirit. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. You know, it comes from a prayer out of one of the Psalms. It was a bedtime prayer that Hebrews taught their kids, that when you go to sleep, God's taking care of everything, but you got to commit your spirit into his hands. Isn't it awesome that we know that we can turn over the wheel to Jesus, and our fragileness, our most fragileness, God's taking care of everything. Amen? Number five, find somebody to serve. John 19:26, he says, behold, mother, right? Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He not only kept the commandments of honoring your mother and father, but he found somebody to serve, even scanning the crowd from the cross. Everybody say self-care. Did you know he beat addiction on the cross? Because he didn't take the gall, but he was still thirsty. If he would have taken the gall, then we wouldn't have a victory over addictions. We'd still have to medicate, but we can self-meditate and meditate on his word instead of medicate. And the last one is, exchange your brokenness for the healing of the Lord. Aren't you glad when he said, it is finished? Well, I'm going to turn this over to Daniel, but I want to share one thing, Daniel. You know, God keeps showing me different things. And yeah, I received a lot of healing. One of the biggest things that I never heard my dad say, I'm proud of you. But before I preached this message before, you ready? I had another one of those dreams. You understand, I had a dream that saved my life. Saved my life. That's where I came to the Lord. And then 20 years later, I had a dream that saved my ministry. And then I had another dream just a month ago. And I was walking my dad around. And he wasn't old, he was young, and I was walking him around. My land, the church, and my dad didn't say a word. All he did was this. And his face said everything, that he was so proud. He was so excited to see the things that his son did, and I never get to hear that. And I had a dream two nights ago, and I had another dream with residual peace. And I was like, oh, man. And guess what it was? It was my dad again. And I was introducing him to my people at church and my new families and stuff. So, but guess what I did the other day? I got in a fight with my mom. And I was like, oh, great. Dad stuff is all done. I'm good. Now I got to deal with my mom. And now I get to reset. How are we doing? Is this okay? I hope I'm bringing out some reality that's going to help. But this is the ticket right here. This is what God gave us to reset the table.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg.